voice is like butter.
Oh my gosh, it so is like freshly churned butter.
I like this podcast. I like this one.
What's up, guys? This is Zach, and you have just stepped into the dark blue. I am hanging out at Sun Cafe in Los Angeles today. It's actually not Los Angeles. It's, where are we, Burbank?
Is Studio City.
Studio City. Okay, yeah. So we're in Studio City today. I'm hanging out with Kerry Rhodes. Used to play for the New York Jets. Mm-hmm. Pretty exciting.
Was it not exciting for you?
No, it was great. No, it was funny. No. I coming in, man, it was weird because I thought I would go higher in the draft, so I had like a little negative connotation going into camp as far as, you know, really having to prove myself to these guys that just invested this money into me. And it was like, what's going on? Like, I felt like it was already off coming in.
Uh-huh.
But then I remember coming in early and talking to Herm Elvis, who was the coach at the time, and he really sat me down and basically said, we drafted you to come in and take this position and be the guy. And I was like, okay. So even though I thought I was going second round, and I failed to the fourth round, I failed to the exact spot that I needed to go.
Oh,
and how the you know, a lot of people worry about where they are, how they're being drafted, what round, but it's really all about the fit. And so I went to the best place, and it ended up being beautiful.
That's awesome. It's so interesting how all that draft stuff works out. Mm-hmm. You know, I've had some conversations recently around how the process works, and it's so much more in depth than I ever thought it was.
Yeah, they're investing millions of dollars in these guys that are coming into the game. And a lot of times I think the whole draft process back in the day was more based off of not the intangibles. And I think the intangibles are what really makes the individual and makes the player the best player. Because you have the measurables, right? And you can be the biggest guy. You can be 6'3", 220, run a 4'4", but don't know anything about football.
So
I think now, especially now, I mean, you get so much in depth. You have all these people that have these programs, and you have these private PI firms, and I mean, really looking at these guys really in depth, it makes sense. It's a lot of money, a big investment. So I understand.
Good deal. Yeah. That's really interesting.
Yeah.
So what position were you again?
I was a safety.
You're safety.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not very in tune with sports usually. Uh-huh. So she's over here laughing
as she chuckles at that. I mean, meaning you're not into sports at all.
Right, I like to play sports like when I have the opportunity, right? So that's something that I do enjoy. But as far as following like pro sports and college sports, things like that, I just don't follow it because it's just not something that
you got better things to
good for my, you know, I don't process it well. I'm like, okay, all right, I'm just kind of bored. Anyway, so I forgot what my name is. She's already laughing at me, so I forgot my question.
That's okay. Yeah. I'm glad we got somebody in the audience right now.
I know, seriously. Yeah,
it's fun. We got a fan. We got a
special guest today. She can just sit here laughing at us.
She's the laugh track.
Yeah. So anyway, we'll get into that more actually in a minute. What I want to do first is I want to try this kombucha.
Ooh, I'm a kombucha fan too.
So we usually do a beer tasting on this show, but we do coffee sometimes. We do beer, things like that. Yep. Really just any craft beverage of any sort.
Got it.
So I was glad when you were just like, no, I really don't want to have a beer because I've been getting much more into the kombuchas and things like that recently. Mm-hmm. So this is one apparently from Boochcraft.
Boochcraft, which is a good brand.
Yeah, they're solid. Yep. I saw them down actually in San Diego. I saw they actually have like a tap room down in San Diego.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah, it was pretty cool. And so anyway, this is a guava one from Boochcraft. So
let's
check it out.
Cheers. Ooh, that's fresh and good.
Yeah,
and tasty. What am I marketing this? Hold on.
It just how would you market this kombucha if you had to?
Okay, let me try.
If you had it's like a 30 seconds to market
30
this
seconds. All right, one more sip. Let me see. That's remarkably fresh and you know what? I really consider this to anybody. I know we can't give it to kids, but I think it's kid friendly. It's soft, very refreshing, very crisp. And so I think this will be a nice drink for a nice hot summer day. I really, really, really think so.
Very
beautiful.
Good.
I'll take one more sip.
Yeah.
Everything I said was true. It was true.
It absolutely was true. This tastes basically like sitting on the beach in Hawaii with nothing to do.
I like that thought too.
That's what that tastes like to me.
I like that thought.
Sweet and refreshing.
It is sweet and refreshing.
It is a sweeter kombucha than I'm used to.
It's almost it's almost like Kool-Aid. You know what Kool-Aid is? You're a Southern guy, right?
Kool-Aid. Uh-huh, yeah.
Kool-Aid.
Only, it does. It tastes like sparkling water and Kool-Aid.
California, would you have to ask? You know
what? You know what that is?
Exactly.
Zach had to explain it to me.
See, there it is.
Yeah, it's basically just powdered coloring and sugar.
That is it.
Yeah.
Your mother used to put in the dishwasher.
Right. Yeah. Lemon Kool-Aid. She used to put. My mom used to put lemon Kool-Aid in the dishwasher to make the dishes
zesty,
more sparkle. Yeah, that too.
Zesty, exactly. Zesty.
Really?
Oh wow! Yeah. It worked. Apparently, I don't know what's in I don't know what's in Kool-Aid that makes that the case. I think it's the citric acid or something. Like the because you use lemon oil or orange oil to clean.
It is. Yeah. Probably.
So
that's funny.
Anyway, that said. As I was saying before, I don't really follow sports much. And so I don't know a whole lot about how the process works. Like I know a lot of, you know, most of the rules and things like that of the different games. Yeah. But as far as like how the process works and getting into it and everything like that, I really don't know much about it. So did you start young playing football?
I did. Yeah. I started my first official season playing football was at 9 years old.
Oh, okay.
And that's exactly. Yeah. But the funny thing about that was actually late. My brothers, who I guess I was telling Hallie about before, they started when they were five.
5 years old.
Tackle football. At five. Not touch, not flag. Tackle.
Gotcha. Are they a little less developed than you?
Of course. That's what I was getting to next.
Four extra years, it knocks to the head.
No, really. Seriously. It's crazy to think about. To be honest, I mean, you shouldn't be playing tackle football like that.
That is very
But anyway, I started playing at nine, and basketball and tennis is my first sport.
So, oh, cool.
I really got into the game by accident. I really wasn't a huge fan of football at first. And so just playing around in the neighborhood, playing catch with one of the guys, neighborhood guys, and his dad was the coach. And he saw me throwing the ball and was like, that guy's kind of talented. I was like, yes, I mean, I guess I got a natural arm, right? A gift for it, but never really thought about it. He recruited me. It kind of convinced my mother to let me go play because my mom didn't want me to play at first either.
Yeah, right.
And so he kind of convinced her. And I went in, started
Sounds
playing.
Like a good mom.
Mom was being protective and being loving, right. All the right things. But I convinced her, my dad convinced her, the coach convinced her to let me play. Went out, played quarterback from day one. And that was my position the whole time until I switched into my junior year in college.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
So came in as a quarterback and, just kind of started having fun with it.
Yeah.
And found out I had a gift and started really taking it serious.
So is it something that you kind of developed a love for, or did you love it when you started playing it?
As soon as I started playing, I loved it.
Yeah.
I didn't have any affinity for it at first before I became in contact with it. But once I got in, I knew I could do it and had a lot of fun. Then started meeting guys as well, other friends and like-minded
people around it. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So started to become fun.
Cool. So did you have other interests in middle school, high school, where you were playing football? What other things did you love?
Yeah, I mean, I guess basketball was my number one thing in general. Tennis was right there. I also played, I played the trombone for a week.
Okay.
So I had a little interest there, which is a weird instrument. Yeah.
It is a strange instrument, yeah.
After I couldn't breathe properly anymore, I was like, I'm done. Takes all your breath, the trombone. So I tried that. I was in the choir. I was in the spelling bee. I was spelling bee champ in fifth and sixth grade.
Okay.
So I had had those ambitions to be a world-renowned speller. But I mean, a lot of things, man. I was a very intrigued kid.
Yeah.
A lot of things kind of intrigued me.
Well, you mentioned something earlier about a one-man play.
Yep.
So what's that all about?
Man, the one-man play. So I had the audacity to write this one-man medieval play.
Uh-huh.
It was three characters, and it was the king. It was the court jester, and I don't know why the court jester was such a big thing to me. And and
maybe you related somehow.
Something, something. And the prince, right? And so I made my little plastic sword and had like a little, made this jacket from the arts and crafts room. We had the gold buttons on it, the whole deal. Yep. I was very regal, very regal.
Very nice.
So I looked up, I looked the part, played the part well. And I remember doing this in front of the whole school, like it was the whole seventh grade class. We had like a little, what you call it?
Like a talent show?
It wasn't even a talent show. It was like I don't know, it was like a weird, it was a weird day. I can't even remember the exact what it was, but I remember performing this play and I made it through and I didn't get killed. So I guess it was okay. Right? So I guess they weren't that put off.
You didn't end up with zero friends afterwards. Mm-mm. So that's,
it was not they thought I was bad. Still kind of cool. Right?
So how did you have a couple brothers.
Yeah.
Right. Are they both younger?
They are. I'm the eldest. Yeah.
Okay, cool. And so you guys grew up in the South, right?
Yep.
Down in Georgia?
Birmingham.
Birmingham, Alabama. That's right. Yep. So in Alabama.
Yep.
So how was that growing up for you? Was your mom kind of strict and protective, like about everything, or was it just about getting into football?
No, I mean, again, sports wasn't the main thing for us. It was more about academics. I was always considered a nerd or like one of the top students in my class, even in high school. I finished, I think, third in my class in high school.
Okay.
So school was always a big thing. And I think as far as raising me, it was one of those things where my parents had me when they were young. Mm-hmm. So both 19.
Oh, wow.
In the South. And so they're just winging it, trying to raise a growing boy that's growing very fast every second.
While they're still growing up.
While they're growing. Yeah, I mean, 19.
Yeah.
And so I was having this story, but I'll go back to it after I finish this story. But I mean, because I was born in Birmingham, but I moved to New York when I was one.
Oh, wow.
So I moved. And then my dad's in the Navy. So I moved from New York back to Alabama, back to Florida, back to New York for a little bit. Back to Alabama, going to high school, so I was all around. So
typical military kid.
Yeah. So the childhood was, it was one of those very strict. Had dad who was very, he's a Navy guy, he's a military dad, so it's kind of strict and very by the rules. We do things the right way. We respect our elders. We the whole deal. Where mom was more loving. Mom was more. She was more my landing pad. When I needed to kind of get that motherly love, she was there. And she was very stay at home at the time, but ended up going back to school and got her nursing degree. So it was a very interesting childhood. Very, on one end, very strict and by the book, and old school Southern raising. Then you also had the mom that was from St. Louis, Missouri, and kind of moved to Alabama and had her own ways, and very soft, very coddling, and very reassuring. So I had both.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Sounds like a pretty solid combination.
It was solid.
Yeah.
It was solid. I don't think we ever get everything we may need.
Yeah.
In a lot of moments when we're younger, but I mean, for the most part, they were there. Yeah.
I think often because we don't know what we need when we're
younger,
right? Like we're so scattered and chaotic that we just think we're not getting the support that we need.
That's
I think, in some ways, and
as
I've grown older and realized some of the things that my parents were trying to do, I'm like, oh wow, they didn't know what they were doing,
right?
And I was just being resistant because I didn't want that at the time. And
it's a good point.
So
really good point. Yeah, we talk about it because we're in an era now where we do seem and tend to blame our parents for everything that's going wrong in our lives, right? And so once you get that awareness now, understanding that they tried the best they could, and when you get on that level of understanding with them and actually start to develop a real relationship with them where you can actually have these real conversations and speak about the things that, like, who are you? Like, who are you, mom? Who are you, dad?
Like you're
what are your principles? Yeah.
With goals and aspirations and things that you've experienced in your life, and it's interesting because you can go to college for your career,
right?
You can't go to college to be a parent.
No.
You can't learn that.
No.
And so we put so much weight on our parents for getting things wrong, but it's like, they don't fucking know what they were doing. Like
we put weight on them, but also society puts weight on them. So it's the added layers of people and things and information that comes your way that, okay, all right, I was hurt. I wasn't treated right. Okay. Wait, You're like, what are they doing? I'm like, you start blaming them for it all. And it's not, it's just, that's just not fair.
It's really not. And, you know, I'm really grateful to come into this space now where I like, okay, my parents are regular people too.
Yes.
And understanding that and kind of moving forward in my relationship with them.
Yeah.
With that in mind.
I'm 39 years old and I think I know a lot of things, which, you know, I'm very well traveled, very well seasoned, the whole thing, but I don't know anything. I'm still learning.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, it's totally fine. Yeah, you don't need to censor yourself.
I was like, I don't know nothing.
It's really charming though when he does.
Yeah, I never really do. Yeah, it's so funny. But yeah, I don't know anything. I'm still learning, and that's the beauty of life. And like, and so if you take that same graciousness that you give yourself and give that to somebody else, give that to your parents and let them know that they're loved and they're understood as well. I mean, the possibility for such a greater outcome is just right there for you.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
So, that's awesome.
All right. If you follow along with the Dark Blue and you have not tried Sheath underwear yet, what are you actually doing with your life? Get on www.sheathunderwear.com. Save yourself a lot of rubbing, a lot of chafing, and a little bit of money with promo code DARKBLUE, all caps DARKBLUE. You'll save yourself 25%, and a portion of your purchase also goes to help us build our network of men's groups at independent breweries all around the country. So let's make this happen, guys. Get on sheathunderwear.com. Into the Dark Blue has partnered with our favorite CBD shop, Alamo Botanicals, to give you guys easy access to your favorite CBD products. My personal favorite is the water-soluble CBD that you can drop in your water in the morning and head out the door. It'll help you with your focus and anxiety throughout the day and simply just help you get your job done a little bit easier. I also really enjoy the Moringa skin food. It's great to get rid of some of those blemishes and red spots on the skin and just really give you a nice, healthy glow. So head over to alamobotanicals.com, save yourself 10% with promo code DARKBLUE, all caps DARKBLUE. A portion of that also goes to help us with our mission to create men's groups all around the country at independent breweries. So help us make that happen and help yourself be a little healthier as well. Head over to alamobotanicals.com.
So do you feel like, do you have any specific lessons that you took from your parents that you've kind of taken into your everything that you've done over the past, say, you know, 20 years? What are some specific lessons that you've taken from
that? Well, I mean, one of the main things was always, and it's fun, it's a funny one, but it's a real one. Like I do everything I did, because that's not true. I don't do everything. I did everything up until a certain point, probably when I was into, like my mid 30s. To not hurt my parents' name. Instead of putting that power in protecting myself and not hurting myself and taking care of myself, it was something else.
You know, I don't want to disappoint them.
Yeah, I don't want to disappoint them. I don't want to disappoint my team. I don't want to disappoint whoever the other third party is involved in this situation where it's always about you. But I did learn that. And that was good for me up until that point, because it got me to a point where I could, you know, handle things and properly understand things and also just not do boneheaded things, right? And so I had that kind of that kind of line set for me. But then, which is a great thing, but then I kind of, you know, like I said, pulled myself out of any other expectations or worrying about what other people say and kind of center myself and found what I really wanted. And I think that was
amazing.
That was the beautiful part of it all. It's just a transformation. Yeah. But, you know, finding something that works for you up until a point, and then if it doesn't, being able to jump off that train and figure it out again, you know, being flexible. Sure. So, I mean, that was one of the main things that I always kind of took from them.
That's awesome. That's such a big deal too. It's like we have so many expectations from family, from society, from everything. And, you know, just like we were talking about before we started recording this with religion and this, like, just the shame of not being good and not being what we're supposed to be, what we're told to be, and so being able to take that and like move away from those expectations and like what do I want,
right?
What do I want for my life? How am I being to others, you know, that sort of thing. And it takes a lot of work to get out of that sometimes. So it's really admirable that you have been able to to shift that mindset and be able to focus on yourself. And I think that's one of the things that once we start taking care of ourselves in that capacity, we can take care of others so much better.
Yeah. You got to be brave and be compassionate.
Yeah.
Be compassionate for yourself. I mean, we go through a lot of things. We are going through right now. I mean, one of the hardest times ever in this world, especially in our lifetime. Right. So, you know, be considerate, be compassionate, be caring, actually be empathetic and listen to other people as well, because we all think we have our problems and we think we're affected with so many things, which we are, but everybody else is too. And so if you want to get to the bottom of it, or you want to get in a community where the space is safe, listen and hear each other out. And I think that's the beautiful thing about your podcast and people who are starting to speak about these things, just creating a space where people can share and feel like they're not alone, because we think we're alone in our journey, which we're not. So many people have the same things we go through and suffer through. So,
absolutely. Yeah. I don't know if you study much of like Buddhism or things like that, but you know, I've over the years, I've learned so much about interdependence and attachment.
Yep.
Right. And in attachment in the sense of like holding on to things that don't serve us, that don't serve the universe, and then interdependence and accepting the fact that we are all connected.
We're all connected, right?
And the way we act out affects the world around us.
Right.
And you're very right. Like we all have things happening. We all have very similar things happening. And that attachment and interdependence, learning about those things, has helped me learn that I'm not special.
No.
You're not special.
No.
Like, you might be a great dude. Right. I might be a great dude, but we're not special.
No. Absolutely not.
So, So anyway, fun little deep moment there, but, so
I always tend to go deep.
You know what? That's,
I just censor myself again. Go deep.
Yeah.
You can.
Nice.
That's a good one. Good one.
So anyway, so you went to college playing football.
Yep.
And you got drafted after college. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. And so what was your education at?
Communication.
Communication.
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome.
Yeah. With a minor in theater. Don't get that.
Okay.
Don't leave that out. One man play.
So hot.
took that from age 13 to college and took it seriously.
You got to manifest.
Okay.
Yeah.
So is that kind of what you're focusing on a little bit more, is communications and theater, now that you're not in playing football anymore?
Oh yeah. Number one. Yeah. As soon as I got done, I came back to LA. As soon as I retired, first day I flew out to LA, got my acting coach, started working with my dialect coach, just started doing the work, went straight back into it. And I mean, I knew I was going to go back there. That was my end all.
Yeah.
Back into theater, back into production, back into writing, all cool, the things. Man. So that's what I'm doing now.
That's exciting.
Yeah, it's been great. It's been challenging. And you know what's so funny about the challenging part of it is, with football, we had the blueprint, right?
You have
a game plan.
Yeah.
You're
told what to do. It's like you're scheduled out.
Scheduled out. They give you the blueprint to be a better football player, right?
Yeah.
So you wake up at 6 o'clock, you work out, you study, you eat, you train, you practice, you study, you go home, you eat, do it all again, repeat, right? So it's all laid out for you. And the success of that is, you know, all predetermined off what you do, and how
or
you
don't
apply that, right? Right, exactly. And so when you get to this game, when you get to being an actor, entertainer in that world, you can do those same things and it just still may not work out for you.
Yeah.
So wrapping your head around that and just the disappointment of not booking those gigs early on, and really getting into a depression for myself. It was a very odd and surreal place for me, because I didn't have it.
Yeah, you know, I can imagine that, like transitioning out of a space where you're like constantly accepted and constantly like being like doted over, essentially, like
you're the best.
Yeah, exactly.
Told you're this guy.
And then switching into a space where you're like getting rejected from auditions and stuff. That's got to be a hard switch.
Dude, it was killing me. It was killing me. Literally, I would be sitting on my couch in LA, all the shades closed, dark, watching TV, eating pizza. Mm-hmm. Like, what am I doing?
Watching like old episodes of Modern Family, trying to cheer yourself up. Martin. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. You're better. You're close though. Yeah. But no, watching Martin. I mean, just really just like, what am I doing? Why am I? Because I mean, at that time, I still actually could have gotten up and played football as well. Like, I'm still at the point of, I could go back.
Yeah. How long ago was that?
That was 2013. So,
okay.
Like
so it's been
like 8 years ago.
8 years?
Okay. 8 years ago. Yeah. But I was literally, I was still working out, still training as a football player, like in my mind. So I was like still bigger. I was bigger than this, obviously, and stronger and training that way.
Yeah.
Almost like I didn't believe in myself all the way yet. And I still needed to take those steps.
Have that fall back.
Exactly.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So it was a tough time for me. It was really tough. I talk about that now. People are like, wow. But yeah, I mean, it wasn't just an easy transition.
Yeah. Again, we all have our problems, right? Yes. Like people are surprised by you going through a situation like that. And you're having big life changes. You know, anytime we have big life changes, we have to grieve, we have to mourn, we have to, you know, we have to actually take steps to transition out of that thing, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I was actually going to ask you about that because I had, I talked with Louis Vasquez, who played for the Broncos a couple months ago. And he, you know, had a similar kind of experience where it was really difficult for him to come out of the NFL.
Yeah.
They actually had to go to like essentially a rehab facility to get him back into normal society.
Right. Yeah. That's a real thing.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I was actually curious about that. It's really interesting to hear.
It's like you're, I mean, the only thing I can really relate to it is you're a rock star, right?
Mm.
You're going to a stage and you're performing for 70,000 people screaming your name and throwing cheers and love your way. And it's such a high frequency, such a big energy that it just can't be really replicated.
Mm.
So you step back into the real world where those 70,000 people or those everyday people, I call them when I step out of the game, they don't recognize you that same way. Mm. They don't have that same reverence for you. I mean,
your name's not on the back of your jersey anymore.
You just carry. You could be a cool dude and you can be nice or whatever. You just carry. You're that guy that used to do that. So you always have that kind of, all right, if I could just be carry, that's fine. But don't say I used to do that. That's another layer on top of it, right? So you have to, you got to come to grips with one, that it's over. Because that's one thing. I mean, because a lot of guys, like I said, still train to go there and still think they can play, right? I'm like, dude, you're done. It's over.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You got to get over. And then I think the culture of the game also makes it hard because you're really told to only invest and do that one thing, right? And that's all you're really good at.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of ingrained in you. And so once you're done, it's hard to kind of get over that hurdle.
So how did you get yourself past that?
Well, for me,
the blinds closed watching Martin stage.
Yeah. it took a lot of things, but number one, I had to look myself in the mirror and say, one, I'm done.
Yeah.
And then number two, it was like, all right, what do I really want to do for myself? Not career-wise, but for myself. Do I want to be...
What's going to make me happy?
Do I want to be the guy that's the compassionate, empathetic guy that I've always been and always had to hide because of football? Do I want to get back to that person? Yes. All right, cool. What are the steps? And so you start training a different way. You start eating a little bit more healthy. Even though I'm not vegan or vegetarian or any of those things, I ate a little bit more healthy and I would, you know, go on some of those binges of eating the right way, right?
And just,
you know, giving myself something to look forward to.
Being clean.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the one thing that really kickstarted my spiritual journey again and really being able to connect with my inner chi, my inner energy, my me was was ayahuasca. So I did ayahuasca.
Okay. Yeah.
And Mother Ayahuasca kind of woke me up and gave me a whole different outlook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's a really interesting topic. And I don't know how much time you have, so stop me if you need to go.
Mm-hmm.
But you just kind of opened up a floodgate there because I, over the last 6 months, about 8 months now, have been working with microdosing on mushrooms.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
You know, had some other like bigger experiences, you know, where it really helps to open up my mind to some of the things that I have been missing, you know,
100%.
And just has really helped me connect with myself again, you know, and so a little bit different, obviously, but I worked for Amazon for 5 years. And working for Amazon, I lost a lot of who I was. I disconnected with a lot of my my personality traits that I revere, you know, that I love about myself. And coming out of working for Amazon last January, it was a rough transition out. Mm-hmm. Like I realized that I had become kind of cold and hardened because of the way Amazon does things. That's actually the first time I've said it on a recording. I usually don't say what company I work for on the recordings.
Now you're gonna say I've sucked you on in.
Right, you have.
I love it. There you go.
But yeah, so like through that and, you know, some relationship stuff in the past, like I was disconnected with a lot of things that I needed to come back to. And that plant medicine really helped me.
Plant medicine is the way. I mean, it's number one, it's from the earth, it's natural. That's it.
Yeah.
That's all that needs to be said. It's natural, it's from the earth. And if you're doing it responsibly and you're doing it with responsible people. Yes,
exactly.
People that are really there to, you know,
to help you
in the way that's a natural way, not a way that's forced, because you can feel that, you can tell that.
Yeah.
And so I was lucky to kind of fall in line with one of the most unbelievable shamans in the world. And he's from Colombia, and he's the only person I've ever done ayahuasca with or sat with. So it's just like, I've found a community there that if things do get hard and I need some kind of guidance or remembrance or reassurance, I always tap back into that community. But that's the beautiful part about it, man. Just finding that you belong. And when you do plant medicine and you do those things, you microdose and do those things, it introduces you to just yourself again.
Yeah.
Similarly what you're talking about.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny because I've been having issues with like being fun and being like, you know, like just lighthearted and things, you know, over the last several years.
Been hardened by Amazon.
Yeah, exactly.
By the big man.
And right. But you know, it's far enough out now. I'm not so worried about it. But yeah, just over these last, you know, since January, I feel like I'm so much more connected with that like fun, lighthearted part of myself.
When we met, he was not funny.
He wasn't funny at all. Cheers to being funny and finding yourself. Cheers.
Absolutely. Yeah, cheers.
Yeah. For real. Seriously.
Yeah. Likewise, man. Mm.
Yeah.
That's good stuff.
Yeah. It's crazy when you can't operate. When you can't operate in the likeness, in the mold that you want to be in, right? And it's such a damaging place to be, because again, we're all connected, right? And so once if you're kind of operating at this low frequency, we're all mirrors, right? So you're going to attract that same like-minded energy, energy. So you just have to be able to climb above that funk and rise above it and start getting into that level of high vibration. And then you're hanging with Hallie, you know what I mean?
Right,
so now you've attracted that. And so that's the beauty of life. And if we can get to that point with a lot more of us, and we're able to share that same vibration, the world will be a better place.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That's pretty perfect.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Seriously. Yeah.
Oh man. I'm just going to marinate in that for a second.
I'm going to marinate in this kombucha.
Yes, please do.
It is good. So you guys know, I'm drinking kombucha and coffee. That's the kind of morning it is. So.
Oh yeah. It's trying to get that gut health and that caffeine. It's very good. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, we're doing great. Yeah. So that's amazing. Is that kind of the main thing that brought you out or of that headspace? Yeah. Or did you have any other, or since then, have you had any other processes and things that you do kind of consistently to stay there?
Yeah. I have a practice that I do every day. I mean, it's The beautiful thing about ayahuasca, and when I did it for the first time, was, again, my shaman's great, but The first thing he told me was that if you're coming here to get cured by taking ayahuasca, you're in the wrong place.
Yeah,
like just
awesome. Already. That's
yeah,
good
just
start.
Just a matter of fact of that was like, thank you.
Yeah,
it's not a, because it is a, it's a, it's a miracle medicine. It's a miracle plant, but it's not the cure all. So it's it's almost like a, it's a jump start into your future self, right? So you have this thing that gives you all this information, and it forces you to look at it because it's going to show you good, bad, indifferent, and whatever it is, like whatever pressing issue, whatever happiness that you do have, whatever the case may be, all of it's going to be on the table. And so you see it. It's almost like a tangible thing, right? Like you can see it, you feel it, and you see it also in a way that's not 3D. And so that also helped because it's triggering from your, from molecules with the thing, your body and all this stuff. It just makes your body remember.
Oh, wow.
And so you have these experiences and then you kind of, I don't want to go back to the other way.
Yeah.
Like I know what that feels like. That feels amazing.
You can't go back to the other way.
You can't. Yeah. The one thing about it, yeah, that's true. It's such a hard, it's hard to explain, but it's like, I just link it to a remembrance because I think that's what we're all doing this in life, right? Every second, every minute that we're blessed to have, grateful to have, like that's a chance for you to remember something, something about your future self and your past self and just keep building. And so you have this knowledge with this plant, it gives you that, right? Mm-hmm. So now you're like, okay, what do I need to do to maintain this? Because once you come back into the 3D world, it's this, it's almost like sensory overload.
Yeah.
And so you have to be able to be centered and have your practice. So, I mean, I wake up, before I get out of bed, I just let God know I'm grateful.
Yeah.
Just for
Starting the day with gratefulness. Yeah.
Just I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. Mm-hmm. Before I even get out of bed, like that's the first thing I say. Grateful to open my eyes, grateful for this air I'm breathing, grateful for this bed I'm landing in, grateful for the people in my life, like all the things, right?
Yeah.
Then I get up, I talk in the mirror to myself. I have a thing that I say every morning, ritual type of thing that I say every morning in the morning in the mirror. Cool. I get a little light workout in. I meditate during the morning and I meditate at night before the end of the night. And it's an everyday thing. So every day I have something that I do and I practice and I stick to it. And that kind of keeps me on that frequency that I want to be on.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
That sounds awesome. That's consistency is one of the things I struggle with the most.
Yeah.
Something I'm learning, trying to get better at, you know, those are the kinds of things and practices that I also have in my life, but it's the consistency that like, I admire that.
But think about it. Anything you are trying to get good at, you have to be consistent.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. And I know it's one of the hardest things that it is, but if you really boil the time down to like science experiment, right? It's like, it's only an hour out of your day to meditate, right?
Yeah.
I do 30 minutes in the morning, 30 minutes at night. It's only an hour.
Yeah. It's not
a lot of time. But I mean, people make it seem like it's a hard thing or it's tedious or it's, I got better things to do. Do you really?
Yeah. It's because we're afraid of growth.
There you go.
That's what it is. We're afraid of growth. That's it. Like we make excuses because we don't want to see ourselves for who we are sometimes.
That's it.
And so instead we just do other things. I have to work. I have to be here. I have to do that. I have to, you know, and all the things that actually make us better humans, we avoid.
Exactly.
It's always easier to make excuses.
Like how much time are you on Instagram, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So I think that's a pretty great place to start wrapping up.
Let's do it.
Before we do wrap up, if you could kind of close out with one, like, really, what's the most like most important thing that you've learned in your life so far? It's a big thing, I know, but what would you say to the people listening? Like, do you have like a mantra or something that like you carry with you?
I do have a mantra that I carry with me all the time, but it's profound, but it's pretty short. But it's, if God brings you to it, he'll bring you through it. So I think I've lived my life that way a long time. I mean, God gives his biggest missions for his strongest soldiers. So, you know, always go about life knowing that you're protected, knowing that there's a greater person that's orchestrating this whole thing. And you just, you know, you do as well as you can, because some days there are going to be bad days and some days are going to be good days. And that's just life. But as long as you stay on that right path of knowing that righteous person, that righteous energy, that righteous
there is a purpose
being is overlooking it all.
Awesome.
We're good to go.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how I live it.
Cool. Those last calls. So this is kind of a chance to tell everybody what's coming up for you. In just in your life in general, where they can find you if they want to kind of connect with you and see where you're going.
Yeah, guys. So, I mean, I do a lot of things. I'm on a TV show right now called If Loving You Is Wrong on the OWN Network, on Oprah Winfrey's network. And, I just finished a movie called The Girl in the Back Seat that comes out in late fall, which will be beautiful. It's intense, but it's beautiful.
Intensely beautiful.
Thank you. And then I released a new single from my band called Within that came out called Changes.
Music too.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Okay. All right.
Yes, you guys got to check that out. So the band name is Within. The Instagram handle is at WITHIN, but the band name is WITHN. So it's spelled that way.
Gotcha.
And I'm also, what's the last
name? What do you play?
I play guitar.
I play guitar
and vocalist.
Okay. Awesome. So I say you got your voice is like butter.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh, it so is like freshly churned butter.
I like this podcast. I like this one. I'm getting all these.
So silly. Making Carrie blush.
Exactly. I'm red as the kombucha right now. So.
Okay. So the band and.
The band. Else? Yes. So the band, the movie comes out in the fall, The Girl in the Backseat. And I'm writing my own feature as well. My next feature that's I want to get made. It's called Bird's Eye View. I can't talk about it yet.
Okay. Okay.
But it's very based in realism. But also going to be shot with a lot of like metaphoric presence in it. Very artsy.
I like it.
Very true though. And so that's the next one I'm trying to get done. So it's called Bird's Eye View. So be on the lookout for that one.
Yeah.
For sure. For sure. I'm so excited about that one. I really think if I do it the right way, it can be like award season type good. So
yeah,
that's where my mind is with it.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's exciting. I'm definitely
so,
be looking forward to it.
So excited. Thank you.
I love those like artsy type movies. Just kind of seeing where people's perspective.
Yeah. I'll give you one little hint of it right now. So the opening, I don't know why I'm doing this, but I'm doing it. The opening scene is this guy walking on he's opening his door, the car door. He slams it. He's putting some weights around his ankles. Very picturistic view. Imagine like Seattle and like in the spring. So, you know, that kind of image, him overlooking the cliff, lake underneath. He's about to do something that he may not think is the best thing, but he's really hurt at this time. And so he's contemplating things, having like very bad thoughts.
Mm.
And he just goes for it. He jumps off the cliff, lands in the water. Beautiful shot of him landing in the water. This isn't a beautiful scene, but it's a beautiful, you know, exterior look of what's happening, why he's struggling with everything. Mm-hmm. So he goes in the water. He's struggling to get out the chains because he's having second thoughts of what he's doing. Cut two, he wakes up and he's in the shower, taking a shower, and he's wiping off the day that's been happening. Before that. So it's
that sounds like pure poetry.
Very artsy, very artistic, but that's awesome. How it starts.
I'm excited about that. Okay. So actually I write poetry. That's kind of something that I've done for years. Mm-hmm. So it's hearing that I'm like envisioning some of the poems that I might write, because they're very metaphorical and a lot of imagery like that, things and that sort of thing. Man.
We're brothers,
right? That's what I'm talking about, yeah. awesome. Well, I'm looking forward to that. And I really appreciate you joining me being a part of this. This is really cool, man. I know it was kind of on a whim.
We made it happen, though.
Yeah, I'm grateful we were able to. So share all your socials real quick so people can find you for movie, for, you know, all that.
Yeah, so my Instagram handle is at Kerry Rhodes. KerryRhodes. Band name again is at Within, WITHIN. And that's really it. I'm not really huge on socials. I'm the one that's forced to do it. Yeah.
Yep, I hear you.
By my manager, my agent. Mm-hmm. You gotta do it. I'm like, I don't wanna do it. But so that's where I am. But anyway, you guys still follow me there though, because I do post occasionally. Yeah.
Cool. All right. Thanks, man. Thank you so
much.
Thanks
for having me, man.
Thanks for going into the dark blue with me. I appreciate it.
I came out too. I came out red.
Yeah, you did.
All right, guys.
Cheers.
Cheers, brother. Have a good one.